The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
What an opportunity we have to just invite people to come to church so they can hear the gospel, but not only that, an opportunity to share the gospel. Each and every one of us has a story. And when we tell our stories to people, that's our testimony. And we overcome by our testimony. And we change other people's lives by our testimony. So I just want to encourage you, invite people to come to church, but not only invite, but use your testimony to impact people's lives. Paul, you can bring that on over. You know, like 25 years, it's hard to believe. I can't believe it. I'm only 35 years old. How could it be 25 years? But wow, does time fly. And God is so good to us, and He's done so many awesome things through the years. We've been talking about our stewardship campaign, and my topic is loyal hearts. And I just want to once again encourage everyone who's been a part of our stewardship campaigns in the past. Those of you who have not been, but you have the opportunity to come on board, we want to encourage you to think about it, pray about it, and allow God to speak to your heart. We never ask people to give any specific amount. You will do whatever you can do, and God will speak to your heart. But I'll share a little bit about that. Loyal hearts are very important. Loyal hearts is what we need in the body of Christ. People who are loyal to one another, loyal to God, loyal to the leadership of the church. And of course, you know, you're loyal to leadership that deserves your loyalty. Exodus chapter 25, verse 1 says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel," verse 2, "but they bring me an offering," that they bring me an offering, "from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering." And then in verse 8, it says, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." This is really the first building or place that was created for a place of worship in the Old Testament. Prior to this, men, the old patriarchs, would set up, choose certain places that they felt God wanted them to worship Him. They'd set up stones, and they would go there and worship God. But we see here that God has commanded that they establish a sanctuary or a tabernacle. And then later on, of course, Solomon, with help from his father David, was able to build the temple, and it was a glorious, incredible temple. And then after the temple was destroyed when they were taken into Babylon, then there was the people were dispersed, and there was things set up, opportunities for people to come together and worship, and they were synagogues. And the church actually is patterned after the old Jewish idea of synagogues, where a place of worship is set up for people to be able to come together in whatever community they're in. And this happened even in the temple, time of the temple worship. They had their synagogues established where the Jewish communities would come together and worship and learn and grow together. And then certain times of the year, there was three times of the year that they were commanded by God to go to Jerusalem and worship there and sacrifice. And then they could choose to go anytime they wanted. But the temple was set up for that purpose. What I want you to see is that God has always had a place for His people to gather together. We call this building the church, but it's not the church. This is only the house that the church comes to to worship. We are all the church of Jesus Christ. And it's so important that we recognize that wherever we are and wherever we go, we are able to worship God with a pure heart. Whatever we're doing is worship. I know it's hard for some people to understand, but from a Jewish perspective, when you're on the job, you're at your business, you're at whatever your career is, whatever you're doing, that's worship. That's why it's so important that when you do it with all your heart. You give everything you've got. Whatever you find, you put your hands to. You do it as if you're doing it unto the Lord, because it's worship. So every area of our life, when we're gathered together as our family, that's worship. Now, it's profane worship when you arguing and condemning one another. God doesn't like that. But when we establish our families on the Word of God and operate according to God's biblical principles, we are in our families every day. We're worshiping. It doesn't matter whether you're praying or not. I encourage you, pray with your family. Pray when you eat. Pray at night. Have prayer times with your family. Last night, my granddaughter spent the night with us, a little three-year-old, and Owen, grandson, 9 years old, I think. But at bedtime, when they stay with us, I always read them a Bible story, and they pray. And Emberly is so cute when she prays. But one of the things she always says is that, God, help me to take the dinosaurs and throw them in the trash can. I don't know why, but that's just one of the things she says. She prays. It's cute. Yes, she's into dinosaurs. So my point is that prayer time is important, but worship is much more than that. Worship is everything that we do. It's a whole lifestyle. However, I want to make sure that you understand, God has always established places for people to come corporately to worship Him. That's why we have this place. And we're so thankful that God has given us this place and allowed us to be able to build this and be able to make our payment every month so that we can have a place to come, a place that we are able to operate the ministry from. And it's not just corporate worship on Sundays. It's everything that we do throughout the week. All the ministries that are operated from Bethel that reach out and touch the hearts of people and the lives of people, not only here in our community and surrounding communities, which we do support many ministries right around here, but also worldwide. So everything that comes that you give to Bethel, much of it is used to reach and touch other people's lives. It's used also to pay our bills. Praise God that we can pay our bills. Praise God, you can pay your bills. That's awesome. And we have bills to pay as well. We have ministers. You pay my salary. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm your servant. You know, just like the politicians are supposed to be our servants. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, right. But I'm your servant. The greatest among you is to be the servant of all. Hallelujah. So, anyhow, we have this place because God has allowed us to have this place. It's ordained. It's anointed. I want you to, you have no idea how many hours of prayer and anointing of this building and this land before we even built the building. We prayed and we sought God and we asked God to anoint this place. So that when people came, when people drove into the parking lot, they would know that there was something different about this place. And I've had people tell me that just driving by, they've been pulled in. Well, Donna just said, mentioned that. Praise God. Well, let me share just a little bit about how we got here at this particular building. In 2001, we had purchased this property, and I mentioned that the last time. And one of the things I need to clarify also, I mentioned that the property was in foreclosure. Well, the property was no longer owned by the Kleins. The property had been sold to a developer, and that developer was trying, well, he built some of the houses back here, and he was trying to sell the land and the property, and he just wasn't, he went bankrupt. And but, you know, through divine intervention, we were able to purchase 5 acres right here. So I just wanted to make sure that it didn't sound like the Kleins were in bankruptcy. That wasn't the situation. But anyhow, in 2001, we purchased a property, and then we realized that, you know, the little church just couldn't hold all the people that we had, and we had to do something. We had to make a decision. So we made a decision, and Linda mentioned this last week, that we made a decision to move to Tepper's Plains. And when we made that decision to move to Tepper's Plains, the old school at Tepper's Plains, it was no longer being used as a school at that time. It was being used administrative offices, and the gym area was available. And we asked them, they said they would rent that to us, and it was perfect for our time at that time. God made a way for us to be able not only to continue to have church, but to continue to grow. It was incredible. But here's something I want you to understand about how God works in our lives. God took us from that little country church. By the way, when we say on the hill, we're talking about across from Eastern High School up on Silver Ridge. South Bethel New Testament Church was the name of the church at that time. I believe it's called South Bethel Community Church now. But anyhow, that's the church that we're talking about. And as we made this decision to move from there, we realized that we were burning our bridges. There wasn't any going back. There was a group of people wanted to stay there, and they took the facility. We wasn't going to be going back to that facility. We were making a commitment of walking by faith and trusting that God was going to open doors for us. We went from that place of having absolutely very minimal bills. We had heat and electricity. I don't know if there was anything else at that time. That may have been it, air conditioning in the summer. But we went from there to paying $800 a month for rent. Now, I want you to see how God allows us to expand our faith. We went from there paying to $800 a month, and man, we thought that was huge. That was incredible. How are we ever going to be able to pay $800 a month for rent? God was faithful. He continued to meet our needs. And then about a year later, we found out that we were no longer going to be able to use the Tepper's Plains school any longer. And, you know, we were just kind of, what are we going to do? We have no place to go. You know, there's not a lot of good-sized buildings in our area to be able to rent or use. And someone, I think maybe Mike Norman, mentioned that the old Chester school, it had been moved out. They'd moved out of it 5 years prior to that. It hadn't been used for anything. It was purchased by a local contractor, and it was just basically sitting there. And he said he wondered if he would be willing to rent it. So we went to Tom Carr and asked him, and he said, yes, he would rent it to us. Okay, now remember, $800. Now, Tom Carr said, $1,500. So another, once again, God's stretching our faith. He took us from there. Now, God is so gracious to us that He allows us to walk by faith, but He doesn't just throw us, you know, throw the whole bushel on us all at once. He took us from 800 to 1,500. And we began, it was it was incredible to have that building. We had the whole building. We had all those classrooms. We had the gym area. Prior to that, we were setting up and tearing down every week, and now we had this whole facility. But how were we going to pay for it? God, once again, was faithful. And then, during that time, we were building this facility. And in 2005, we were able, in August of 2005, we were able to move into this building. And from that, from the $1,500, we graduated to over $5,000 a month to pay a mortgage. Now, awesome as God is, that's a little scary when you're moving from $1,500 to $5,000. Once again, God has always been faithful. We have never missed a payment. It's always because God's people are willing to listen and obey. Listen and obey. And that's all we're asking when it comes to this stewardship campaign. We're not asking you to do anything more than you're able to do. What we ask is that you pray, you ask God. So most of you have probably received a card and a commitment card, a letter in the mail, and we're just asking you to pray over that. Ask God what to do. It's not important what you give. What is important is that you give with a loyal heart. You hear what God says. We're looking for loyal people here at Bethel who will support the ministry, support the leadership, support one another. You know, when Nehemiah built the wall in Jerusalem, each area of the wall was built by different groups of people, and they all did what they could do. They just gave of the skills, the ability, the talent, the resources, the finances that they had. Each one of them gave according to their ability. We're building a wall that is touching our community. It's touching the world, and we all just need to do our part. Just do whatever it is that God has called us to. So, as I lay the foundation for this message this morning, I just want to thank you all for being so faithful over the years, and we're going to continue to accomplish this. I'm praying that God brings somebody along that has the finances to pay off our debt. That'd be awesome for that to happen. But if it doesn't, you know, hallelujah, we want that. That would be great. But if it doesn't, we're just going to keep being faithful. Week after week, day after day, week after week, year after year. And we will accomplish our goal. All right, we're talking about loyal hearts. Turn with me to Matthew. I'm going to actually read from the Bible this morning. If you have your Bible, you have your iPad, your phone, whatever device you might have the Bible on, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to start with verse 24. We're just going to read 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and doesn't not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You know, I like to say that there's three kinds of people in this world. People who make things happen, people who watch things happen, and people who wonder what happened. Well, but according to this parable, from God's perspective, there's only two kinds of people. There's wise and foolish. And we have to figure out what category we fall in. It's really important that we understand what it means to be wise. A woman went to her doctor And when she got there, the doctor was busy and he was unable to see her, so an intern saw her that morning. And she was in there for about 4 minutes, and suddenly she screamed and ran down the hall. And as she was running down the hall, she ran into her doctor. They visited for a couple minutes, and the doctor stormed into the room where the intern was. And he said, "What in the world is wrong with you? Mrs. Terry is 63 years old. She has 4 children, 10 grandchildren, and you just told her she is pregnant." The doctor, the intern, didn't even look up. He was still writing. He said, "And does she still have the hiccups?" Ooh, not a nice way to deal with the hiccups. Well, I don't know how wise that was, but it accomplished the goal. It got rid of the hiccups. You know, in the Old Testament, we see Solomon's great wisdom because he was ready to take a sword and divide a child, 2 ladies arguing over whose child it was, and his great wisdom came by saying that he was going to divide that child, and the real mother said, "No, please don't do that." And he gave it, you know, what wisdom? That's the kind of wisdom that we can have as we learn from the Word of God. In my definition, I can narrow it down to wise are people who make things happen, and the foolish are watchers and wonders. Any fool can criticize. Benjamin Franklin said this. Any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain. And most fools do. The Proverbs reinforce this. Proverbs 3:35, "The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools." Proverbs 12:15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." You know, I was just reading some things about New York City and the surrounding area. And New York City and the tri-state area, which encompasses New Jersey, Connecticut, Long Island, over the last 9 years, they've lost over 1 million people. According to Bloomberg, 300 people are moving out of the area every day. They're losing 300 people. There's various reasons. Now, this started before all the turmoil happened and all the rioting and the protests. You know, the protesting is not the problem. The rioting is the problem. There's no doubt about that. The cost of living expenses are sky high in New York. The crumbling infrastructure is just incredible. The taxes are way out of proportion, and people are just kind of fed up with what the government is doing there. If you live in New York City, you're forced to pay outrageous taxes to support those who pay nothing. I believe that what we're seeing is a mismanagement, an ultra-liberal socialist programs that are destroying these states, and people want nothing to do with it. Our leaders are confused over social responsibility and physical management. Now, I'm not against social programs. I think our government needs to offer social programs, and things need the poor need to be helped when we can help the poor. There needs to be opportunities, but what we do in our country, or what we have done, is we have come to the place where we've tried to meet everyone's need at the expense of a few. And what we're seeing is that people really are getting sick and tired of that. We have a mandate from the Word of God to minister to the poor, and we should do that. Jesus said, "The poor you're going to have with you always." We are. There's no doubt about that. But we have been commissioned by our Lord to minister to poor people. But I believe what we're seeing here is the epitome of foolishness. It's fueled by a world philosophy devoid of biblical understanding. Let me tell you what the mayor of New York, first of all, let me say that the governor of New York actually went on record as he was kind of begging people to come back to New York. And he was talking to the upper middle class and wealthy people. He needs them to come back to New York. The mayor actually rebuked him and basically said, we don't need those people. At the same time, this crazy guy is asking the federal government to support New York and their programs. Is that foolishness? Is that crazy? Absolutely. You know, it's not confined to New York. Because we have left our biblical understanding of what wisdom is, we have a nation that is going in wrong direction, constantly running toward foolishness instead of biblical principles and an understanding of how we can operate our society where all people's needs can be met appropriately. There's 65 verses in Proverbs alone that talk about the wise and what it takes to be a wise person. 75 speak to the fool and his foolishness. So there's lots of scriptures that tell us about wisdom. But there's also plenty of scriptures that tell us how to gain wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But the foundational principles that are in the Bible will give us great wisdom on how to conduct our lives, how to conduct our families, how to conduct our finances, how to deal with relationships with one another. The Bible is a treasure trove of how to live your life. And so many refuse to read it and apply it. John Wesley was a great preacher. But not everybody liked John Wesley. And of course, that happens. One day, as Mr. Wesley was walking, he was on a very narrow path. And he met a man that didn't like him. And one of those men would have to step aside. The man came charging ahead at John Wesley, saying, "I never give way to fools." John Wesley just stepped aside and said, "I always do." Hallelujah. There's plenty of fools. Foolishness abounds in this world. God has instructed His people in wisdom. But how many are really listening? I'm encouraging you this morning. Listen to the wisdom that God gives you. The surprising thing to me is that many young fools really survive to be old fools because they fail to learn. One of the things that I know for sure, I was a young fool. And I don't claim to be the wisest person in the world, but I have learned a few things. And the way that I have learned in my life, the way that I have been able to change the direction of my life has come from this thing we call the Bible, the Word of God. Has established me and my family, my household, on a solid foundation. And it all begins with making the right choices. What we see according to the scripture that we read is that we only have two choices, a solid foundation or a sandy foundation, sifting sand. Now, I don't want to apply to anybody that we can not learn wise things from our society and from secular education. But what I want you to understand is that the wisdom of this world is okay as long as it does not conflict with the wisdom that you find in the Word of God. There is a lot of wisdom out there, you know, things that we can learn and understand from other people, secular teachings, things that have really little to do with the Bible, but are compatible with our biblical teachings and our understanding. If you build your life on nothing but philosophy of this world, your house will crumble. But if you have a solid biblical foundation, you will be able to discern wisdom and foolishness. I say to you, young people, as you're being taught in the public schools, if you have the wisdom of the Word of God, you'll be able to discern the foolishness that they're trying to teach you and the wise things that they're trying to teach you. If you're in college, you need the Word of God in your heart so that you can discern against the foolishness that is being promoted opposed to the wise understanding that you can gain by a college education. If we're in the workplace, we need the Word of God so that we can discern what is right and what we should do and how we should handle each and every situation, because the Word of God will direct your heart. There is no doubt about it. It's so important. Anyone ever build a house, you know how important it is to have a very good, solid foundations. These days, we dig footers and pour concrete. We know how to have a good, solid foundation. In times past, they've had to dig down to bedrock in order to try to have a good, solid foundation. Some of the old buildings around our area have huge sandstones that have been hewn, and during that time, they were actually transported there by horse and buggy. Huge, heavy rocks, bigger than this, that they used for, and they were hewn and made foundation stones. People built houses and barns and all kinds of things on these. When we lived in Athens, we had a barn that had a complete lower level that was built out of those huge sandstone. It was about 10 foot tall. So it's very possible to use things like that to create a good solid foundation. But before they did that, they had to make sure that the land or the dirt underneath of it was good and solid. They couldn't put it on loosely packed dirt, a place where there was a lot of mud. It had to be good and solid before you put the foundation stone there. Today, we use concrete and we're able to build solid foundations. Many years ago, in the 1930s, the Empire State Building was built. And they tried to choose a place for it, and Manhattan seemed to be the best place, the southern tip of Manhattan, because it could support the heavy, tall buildings. During that time, there was not a structure as large as the Empire State Building, the largest structure ever built during that time. But they knew that they had to find bedrock. So they went to Manhattan, and they knew that there was some good, solid bedrock down there. But they had to dig down 55 feet below the ground to find the bedrock. The foundation is also made of concrete and steel. In fact, there's 200 steel columns that support the building, the steel frame. After the frame was built, after they had a good solid foundation, they were able, these men that were working on the Empire State Building, they were able to build a floor a day. That was incredible. What a task. But they had a good solid foundation to build on. And we all know that, the most important step in building a solid Christian life is our foundation. And that foundation is Jesus Christ, accepting God's Son as our personal Savior and accepting His words, His philosophies, and rejecting the things of the world. But I think this story implies more than just accepting Christ. It also talks about building your life with his teachings. Because in verse 24, it actually says this: "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock." Not only do we hear him, we not only have Christ as our Savior, we hear what he has to say, and we apply those things to our life. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." It's just the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So when we have Christ, we have the opportunity of the beginning of knowledge in our life. So with this in mind, I believe from a biblical perspective, it is very possible. Now you'll hear what I have to say. I believe it is very possible for people to be Christian fools. That may not go over too well. But what I'm saying is, you can accept Christ as your personal Savior and never build on that foundation. If you do not build on that foundation, you are building with the wrong kind of materials. You may not be actively building, but you're building, whether you like it or not. So therefore, it is very important as believers in Jesus Christ that we build with the material that we have from the Word of God. James 4:17 says, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin." So when we find and we know to do good, but you have to know to do good, you have to know what the Word of God says. And yet, many people are still very foolish, very ignorant of the Word of God in their lives. D.L. Moody was preaching once. He got a note before he preached. All it said on it was "fool." Now, he, like all preachers, pastors, have enemies. That just happens. He stepped up to the pulpit that night, and he said, "It is very, very interesting to me. I usually get letters from people without names on it. Tonight, somebody gave me a piece of paper with their name and no letter." I think that's awesome. Fool. I'll bet the fool that wrote that was back there cringing in his seat. What a fool. He had his name. We don't want to be fools. We want to be wise. So my next point is, loyal hearts built on the rock with quality material. A good foundation is very important. But if you build with shoddy materials, your house is going to be in danger of shaking and falling apart. In 2 Kings, Elisha the prophet is approached by a widow of one of his fellow prophets, and the prophet has died. She has a problem. Her husband has died, she has no income, and the creditors are coming to take her two sons. She cries out to the man of God. The man of God says, "What do you have in your house?" And she says, "Well, I have one thing in my house." And what he is saying to her is, the prophet is literally saying, "What do you possess of value?" That's something that God will always deal with in our hearts. What do we have that we think is very valuable? If we think it's very valuable, then God usually, many times, will ask us to release it to him. And that's what he did with her. He said, "What do you have of value?" And she said, "I have this jug of oil. That's all I have." But it was exactly what she needed for a miracle. She listened to the man of God. The man of God said, "Go and borrow as many vessels as you can from your neighbors. Get jars and buckets and containers of all kind. And when you come back into your house, shut the door and begin to pour your one container of oil in those containers." as she poured the oil. It just kept coming, and it kept coming, and it kept coming until she had filled every one of those containers. I'll bet she wished at that point that she had gone and got more containers. You see, when God asks something of us, He is always looking for the thing that is most valuable to us. Because that thing that is most valuable to us becomes an idol in our life. It's very difficult sometimes to release those things. That lady listened to the word of God and released that oil to her God, and she began to pour it. She not only paid off her debt, but she had money left over to meet her needs. That's the God that you serve. The God that wants to meet all your needs according to His riches in glory, Christ Jesus. But He will ask something of you. He will ask you to do something that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to borrow all these vessels from your neighbors. It doesn't make sense to go in your house and start pouring. It doesn't make sense to do what the man of God said to do. But in the end, it made all the sense in the world because God was in this thing. It doesn't make sense. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't make sense for you. Some of you may not understand this, but it doesn't make sense from a natural perspective to give God 10% of my income right off the top. If you're looking at things from a natural perspective, that doesn't make sense. What does God want with it? I'm not giving it to God anyhow. I'm giving it to that preacher or that church. But it's about the kingdom of God, and it always should be. And yes, you want to make sure that when you give, that the resources are being used to promote the kingdom of God. We have nothing to hide around here. Our finances are wide open. You can look at anything anytime you want. We hide nothing because we're doing work for the kingdom. It doesn't make any sense to give our resources to others except for the fact that God has promised, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing shall men give unto your bosom. It doesn't make sense to use the things that you have to help others except God's word. It doesn't make sense to support ministries, to give our hard-earned money to the poor. But if we do, we have this promise. Listen to this promise. And he was talking to them, he was talking to Israel, Isaiah 58:8. And he was talking to Israel about supporting the poor and how they had neglected to meet the needs of people. But if you do, he says, then your light will break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, here I am. You can spend hours and hours in prayer, and I believe prayer is important. But if you're not responding to the unction that God places in your heart to meet other people's needs, you're not going to have that relationship, that communion with the Lord God that you're supposed to have. You will cry and He will not hear you. But He has promised, if we do, He will hear. God never asks more of us than we can give. But He also knows that our ability and our potential are much greater than we believe it is. That's why we need to build our life with the right kind of material, the Word of God. You know, this widow chose to follow the Word of God. And the Lord met her need. When you seek the Lord, when you truly desire to do what is right before Him, He hears your cries. And He will communicate with you. Do you not know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Spirit lives in you. I know the world makes fun of us when we say, oh, God spoke to me, God said this, God said that. But if we're not hearing from God, there's something wrong with our Christian life. Because we have Holy Spirit in us, speaking to us, ministering to us, dealing with us each and every day. Now, I don't hear audible voices, but I hear the voice of God here and here often. Because He desires to speak and communicate with His people. Without the knowledge of the Word of God, we are incredibly gullible. I guess that's why Jesus called us sheep. We need the Word. It makes us wise. It makes us understanding. It makes us compassionate. It causes us to have the ability to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. People are being fooled all the time. They're being fooled by pastors. They're being fooled by evangelists. They're being fooled by politicians. They're being fooled by leaders of all kinds. There's a lot of foolishness being promoted in our world today. But if we will build our life on the Word of God, that solid foundation, we will be able to discern the foolish things from the wise things. Let me finish with this one last crazy story. On April the 1st, April Fool's Day of 1998, I don't know if anybody remembers this or even knows that it happened, but in 1998, Burger King, on April Fool's Day, publish a full-page advertisement in USA Today. They were introducing a new item on their menu. That item was a left-handed Whopper. A left-handed Whopper was designed to meet the 32 million left-handed Americans' needs in America and their customers. According to the advertisement, I can't believe this. According to the advertisement, the new Whopper included the same ingredients as the regular Whopper, but the ingredients were rotated 180 degrees to meet the needs of my wife, Tammy, who is left-handed. The following day, Burger King had to make an announcement. They had thousands of customers coming in to Burger King requesting the new left-handed Whopper. And not only that, other people were coming in and saying, "Don't you make me that left-handed Whopper. I want a regular right-handed Whopper." Is that foolishness or not? We can be led astray pretty easily. That's why it's so important. We have this foundation of the Word of God. I encourage you, read the Word, study the Word. Know the Word of God. Hide it in your heart. Memorize verses so that you will know it wherever you go and whatever you do. You know, maybe you struggle with reading. It's not the most comfortable thing for you. Don't try to overwhelm yourself. Read what you're comfortable with. Read until you understand that scripture and then move on. God, you know, you don't get a prize for reading a scripture, a chapter a day just by reading it. You get a prize when you read it and you understand and you apply it. Do what you can with the Word of God in your life. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.